So it is great. It is wonderful to have Tolu and Abby Olajide with us this morning. Why don't you guys come on up? And we're working through a series on seasons in life, and these guys are going to share on kind of grief and loss and God being with us in the midst of that. Abby, many of you will know, most of you will know, was on staff here at Beck through the dim days of COVID, okay, held things together, and it's great. She's met this fella here, and they've got hitched. And it was one of the highlights of my time here was their wedding. My life, like, three-hour service just went past like that. It was awesome. There was so much good about it. But let's bless these guys as they come among friends and share today, shall we? Why don't you just bless them? Father, we thank you for Tolu and Abby. And we just pray, Spirit, refresh them even as they share. We do love them. We're so for them. And I just pray they know they've got nothing to prove. I just pray they'd share their hearts today and let your rhema word, Lord, the word of Scripture, the truth of Scripture, speak and minister and reap a harvest among us today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Okay. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
Hi, everyone. Hi again. My name is Tolu.
Abby.
And that's Abby there. I think the first thing to highlight is we're not experts in what we're about to share. And what we hope to share with you today is a part of our journey. And importantly, how Christ was in that journey and how God was in that journey. But what I can tell you is hindsight can be a blessing and hindsight can also be punishing. So in hindsight, I had some of the things we're going to share with you. But whilst going through it, I'm not sure that I can tell you those were my feelings, my thoughts. And so we pray that, as Pastor Paul is, pray that you be blessed.
Yeah. I think just to add to that, as we're sharing today, we thought it to be more like an informal conversation. So if at any point someone has a question, I wonder if someone could, you know, raise a hand and, you know, if we can have a mic somewhere, if someone else wants to chip in or chime in or share something, because the reality is, you know, what we're about to talk about, most of us here have journeyed down a similar road in one season or the other of our lives. So yeah, just to put that disclaimer out there, it's more of an informal discussion.
Oh no, I thought it was deep. Okay, just kidding. If you can put the first slide up for us, we'd try to find a title, and we thought maybe this title kind of captures what we want to talk about. When we talk about the name Jesus, when we talk about God, one thing that resonates with me more is Emmanuel, God with us. But the question is he really with us when we're going through our seasons of loss, of grief, and of bereavement?
And I just want to add that the answer to that is, we're all going to say, yes, he is. But does it feel like that in those times and moments? And I guess that's what we're really going to share, just the real human experience of that. So the head knowledge is one thing, but then how you feel and how you process and how you experience it is another thing.
Yeah. So we went through dictionaries to try and find out different definitions. We started with bereavement.
Yeah.
And I mean, what we can tell you is bereavement is that period that you experience after a loss. And we just didn't want to box our conversation to the loss of a loved one. We've all experienced a loss before, even as children. You've experienced the loss of a pet, maybe. Maybe your parents flush you down the toilet and then tell you. Oops, sorry. Sorry, that was not what happened.
They went to fishy heaven.
Yeah, I went to fishy heaven. You know, we've experienced the loss of a job. We've experienced the loss of something you hoped for and didn't get. Yeah. So sometimes a loss can be something you've had that was precious, that is no longer with you. Or sometimes it's something you really wanted. Maybe it's a holiday that your parents wanted to take you to, and something has happened and you couldn't go. So as a result of that, there is grief that we experience. So loss, grief, and bereavement, it's all encapsulated. But we'll start with our story. But you can point to the next slide. But I'd like to tell you a bit of story about my journey, right? So I grew up in church, and as a young guy, I think around 16, 17, I really loved God. I mean, I served wholeheartedly, when I say serve. So I served in the Redeemed Church, which is the biggest black church in UK, in Coventry, actually. I went to Coventry Uni, met my wife there, my late wife. And then somehow God decided that, Tolu, I wanted you to play more role in the church. So I was, well, I am a pastor, or I was, however you want to say it. So I'm ordained in the RCCG church. So my responsibility as a young guy in Coventry was then to go to the headquarters, and my role was to plant churches across Northern Ireland and in England. So I was the head of church growth and church planting. So, and I would go to places and talk about Christ and help people find faith. So, but my wife and I, our journey was always centered in Christ. So we believed and we prayed about everything, fasted about things we wanted. And so stepping into 2020, we stepped in with John 10:10 as we prayed into the year, and 2020 was significant, a decade. So we thought, let's pray and plan for our next 10 years. We'll spend the first month finding scriptures that will guide what we will do and not do. And so John 10:10 talks about God giving us abundant life and life abundantly. At the time that we were to get married, our life scripture was anchored in Genesis, I think Genesis 24, Genesis 12, where Sarah, Isaac and Rebecca had met. So we digested, chewed that scripture. Every month we'll go through that verse to try and find what's God telling us about this verse. So anyway, come March, as COVID started, we'd just given birth to our second born then. He was 5 months old. So come March, I mean, she just felt a bit ill, and I thought she wasn't breastfeeding anymore. We thought, what's going on here, you know? Okay, let's take you to the hospital. I mean, then COVID happened. I'm sure you guys remember what that was. Everything was ridiculous. I mean, we had conflicting responses from GP, NHS. But I can understand now. Everyone is trying to figure out what's going on in the world. So I got upset one day, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to drive you to the hospital myself. So I drove her there, got to the hospital, and I just told the A&E people, you have to see my wife, because she's critical. I mean, she's not eating, she's not breastfeeding. And they came out, saw her, and they believed me that it was critical. And so, like that movie, ER, five doctors came out, rushed around her, took her in, left me outside. And so at this time, I have friends who love praying, and I told my friends, this isn't normal. I mean, Chidinma had never been sick before in her life, I mean, except going to give birth in a hospital. And so they asked me to go, to wait. They're going to check in on her. And then before I knew it, they said, you know what, we're taking her to ICU. And I thought, well, okay, can I just see her, pray with her? They're like, no, you can't. And before my eyes, the wheel that passed me, I'm like, okay, I'll be with you shortly. Then by the next morning, I get a phone call, you know, phone calls from the hospital are never nice, are they? And they said, you know, it's critical now. We've got to put an induced coma. How does someone that I saw yesterday morning, who just couldn't eat and feed our five-month-old baby, has gone into induced coma? Okay. So I had my friends who were praying, and then day three, my friends, I mean, around the globe were praying along with me. And there were words of prophecies that were coming. By day three, I'd lost faith. I'd lost hope. I just couldn't pray. I mean, I've got two kids who were hungry and crying. And I was then worried about my wife. They eventually told my parents, because you never want to get your parents worried. But I thought by now, I need to let them know what's going on. This is serious now. So they also then started with us. Then by day five, there'd been vigils happening every day for my late wife. And then they'd called me to say, we're not out of the woods yet, but we can see some signs that things are progressing. And then I'm really thanking God, yes, Lord, thank you, making breakfast. And I'll never forget, at 8:30 in the morning on the sixth day, they called me to say, Tolu, we're so sorry, she's dead. And so, how do you grapple around that? I mean, just the night before, into the morning, friends had told me that they'd seen her healed. There were scriptures that were given to me by my spiritual parents, by my mentors. And so, I'm sure as you can imagine, 101 questions flood my mind. Wait, is God actually still real? What happens to the promises that God has given? I mean, what happens to the John chapter 10, verse 10 that we started the year with? What happens to Genesis 24 that governs our life? As far as I know, Rebecca and Isaac lived to a very ripe full age. What happens to these people who were fasting and praying and trusting and believing that God has said they will heal? So I remember telling the poor nurse, I said, you know, you've made a mistake. This is definitely not real. You know, just call me back. I think you've missed. You're calling the wrong person. Then they call me back at 11 o'clock to say, she's really dead. We've checked her for 3 hours, and we've turned off all the supports that we've put on her. Because of COVID, you can't see her. And then that's when I lost the plot. I thought, how do I see someone who was 6 days ago, in the whole six leading to that, I couldn't speak to her, at least to check. And so, I mean, I'm not sure what I said, how I did, but they called me back later to say, you know, we'll let you come so that you're sure that she's really gone, but we really took care of her the best that we could. So that's what started my journey. I was a 35-year-old with a then 2-year-old baby and a 5-month-old baby who was heavily breastfeeding. And I let Abby share her journey, start a journey, and it would kind of anchor that in.
Yeah, so thank you for sharing. When you mentioned about the prayer groups, funny enough, friends of mine were also praying. So we were actually praying for Chidima as well, although we didn't know you at that stage, or I didn't. So a lot of you probably know my story a little bit better. When I moved from Ireland 8 years ago or so now, I moved across the road there. Like, I can probably get Wi-Fi from my house. That's how close I was. And I remember before I moved, I was like, Lord, you know, I want to move, and I know that you're in it. I want to find a church that is, just somewhere where me and my family can grow. And then I moved here. I had never seen the house that we moved to. I was pregnant with my youngest as well at the time. And I got here, and I look outside, and there's a church. I was like, okay, right, thank you. And Mary welcomed me on the first Sunday and has been welcoming me ever since. Further down, I think we were here for about a year and a half, before my late husband Elijah passed away. And, you know, similar story to yours. His was a car accident, so, you know, I'm get ready and I go to work. And I think at probably about 9 o'clock, I get a call, and my sister's like, the police are at the door, and I'm like, what's happened? And they then had to come to my workplace to tell me, but I knew something was already wrong. And by the time, before they even got to my workplace, I had just said, you need to tell me because I'm a nervous wreck right now. And I can't wait 40 minutes for you to get here. So they told me, and I just remember screaming, just dropping everything and just screaming. And, you know, it's just that moment. And I know the the series that we're talking about is transitions. And I think that's a pivotal moment in transitioning from one season to the end, or as we have it on the board there, we've got three different circles. And that was an ending that obviously I didn't expect. But I transitioned in that moment from everything being normal, having a happy life, having three children, husband, going to work. We actually had like a sports day later in work, so life is good. And then I'm hearing this news that is going to change my life forever. And yeah, I don't think in that moment I thought of anything, but I guess there was just that numbness and I guess the beginning of an ending. Yeah,
so when we talk about loss, there's always an ending to something precious. And our stories started with us losing someone that we loved. And so for me, the questions were, why? I mean, so why allow me to start this journey and of being faithful in marriage? What's the point? What's the point of all the prayers? So does that mean that I've never heard from God? Does that mean that the people that were shepherding me, that I trusted as my spiritual mentors, lied to me? So I began to question God. And I'm sure you guys don't do that, it's just me. Yeah, I'm sure you don't.
Anyone else ever had some questions?
No, these guys are saints, they don't. And so for me, my intellectual mind became heightened, super heightened. So when I get into any new season, the first thing I want to find is information. Just help me make sense of this. So I've heard of people losing loved ones, but I've never really come close to someone as young as we were losing a loved one. I mean, most of all my friends were just having children. So suddenly I'm an alien to the friends and community that I knew. So I'm like, okay. And I remember my pastors and senior colleagues, they were really worried about me because I was this aspiring, thriving young one that they thought he was really going to be I was trailblazing. And here I was asking questions about God as though I didn't know God. The one thing I knew was that I know there is a God, but certainly I don't trust him anymore. Yeah. I thought, surely your word is no longer true. But I remember saying, you know, in that first week that, you know what, we're not going to call it quits. I know there is a God, but right now, I'm hanging by the thread. And if anything at all, that's the only thing that I'm holding on to. And if you want me to trust you, you've got to come and get me. Right? I'm not moving a muscle. You've got to come and get me, you know. You have to carry me, drag me, whatever you do, forget it. That's what I'm going to do. And I remember people would try and tell me about God. And now I know how difficult it is to comfort someone grieving. It is difficult. It's different for everyone. Some people will come and try and tell me nice things, but I wasn't having it. Yeah. Anyone who is intellectually heightened will know what I'm talking about. Any scripture you brought my way, I floored it. I thought, there's no way you're telling me this about God now. And so anyway, fast forwarding. And I remember someone saying to me that, it doesn't make sense. But you can trust the Holy Spirit to help you on this journey. That was the only thing that everyone in that season said that made sense. The Holy Spirit. I thought, okay, we'll try. And for nearly 9 months, I had maybe 2 hours of sleep a day. And I remember there were two songs that I had playing on YouTube just endlessly. And to hear the songs, you had to really listen to the room. I mean, the emotions of grief are relentless.
I mean, wait, so I just need to get a show of hands. Does anybody know what feelings we're talking about? Can I just?
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of us know what this feels like.
Yeah. For me, it was relentless.
Yeah. Bewildering. Yeah. Yeah. It's bewildering. You're experiencing things you've never experienced before, and they're heightened, and it hurts.
I think hurting is an understatement.
I mean, what other word is there?
Yeah. English was my first language, so I know.
Triple, yeah.
Triple heightened.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never thought about silence being so loud before. I mean, it was as bad as I knew the sound of cars that were driving up my street at night. I mean, there's a particular guy that drives around and is playing a particular music. Sometimes I want to open my window and go, oh, I know you're coming now. Mm. Time was so slow. And everyone just seemed to be having a great life.
I remember people would tell you, you know, take it day by day. And I think that's such good advice. But at a point, the day was too long. So people say take it hour by hour. The hour's too long. I was like, so I think someone said minute by, I was like, I can do the minute. I think I can do the minute to the next minute, to the next. But that hour is really long. And, you know, just echoing what you said, words can't explain how you feel. And you're trying to make sense of this. And for me, it's like, but Lord, I've done all the things I believe I was supposed to. I was faithful in my marriage. I, you know, prayed, and I prayed over my husband. I prayed over my family. Why? How? How did this happen? How am I going through this? How are my children? My parents separated when I was young, and one thing I always said, and I said to God, was, you know, I want to make sure that I have a whole family. And I was so angry with God, like, how could you do this to me? This particular thing. I know that there is the death, and that with the death comes secondary losses. And one of the secondary losses is my children. They have a different experience. Like, that, I could put myself to the side for a minute. But I was like, Lord, why? How? And I was really hurt, and I was really disappointed, because I felt like the life that I had led, I grew up in a Christian-ish home, but like I felt like, you know, is anyone else the first child who's like really good and does all the good things and what they're supposed to do? That's me. So I'm like, Lord, why is this happening to me? Why is this happening to my children? And, you know, we'll probably touch on it a little bit later, but I felt that the hurt actually brought about a hardening of heart. And I can see why people who may be faithful to God in the season and go through really tough seasons may turn their face away. It's not because they don't love God, but it's because the hurt, it feels like a betrayal in a sense. It's like, but how could you do this? How could you allow this to happen to me? Especially, you know, you might have specific things that you've prayed for, and, you know, life hasn't exactly gone that way. And it really, really hurts. I know I have not expanded my vocabulary on hurts, so feel free to add a word that could help me with that. But for now, I'll use really, really hurts.
Yeah, yeah. And
you got a word for me, Jeff?
No, but I'm empathizing with you, yeah. And I did all along to do this. I really felt your pain.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And so here I am, and here she was with three kids, my with two kids, and it's just, so where do I begin? And I remember, so I just stopped going to church. I mean, thankfully COVID was on anyway, so everything was online. So, and I remember I would join online And after like 2 minutes, I just wanted to fling my laptop. The only thing that held me back from smashing anything in my house were my children.
And the fact that you would have to clean it up.
And the fact that I'd have to clean it up myself afterwards. So I thought, I stopped taking glass cups upstairs. I'll take plastic cups. And I'll still throw them, but they won't go as far as I want them to go. Mm. And I'll get upset at that as well. And I just thought, you know, stuff you, Lord, for now. You know, you do you, I do me. Because I don't think this is working anymore. But somehow I believe, but it's not working for us. And that song will play in the background over and over again. And the song, there are two songs. One is my mother tongue, which is Yoruba, and the song simply says, Holy Spirit, right, carry me to the place of prayer. Carry me to your altar. That's what that song was playing. And the other one talks about, Holy Spirit, just come into me and speak to me. Because there's just this hollow, this emptiness, this void. And then I thought, well, just left that for a while. And so it starts with an ending. So grief is not linear. For anyone that's gone through, you know that. I remember the scripture that says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And I think it was more joy blinks. And weeping continues for a very period of time, right? I mean, I had emotions that I never thought were possible. I mean, one of them being envy. I remember just going on a walk. Walking was one of the things that helped me. And it wasn't a walk of, I knew I was going. It was a walk of, I just wanted to get lost in the field somewhere. But guess what? Somehow, I always circled back home. I just walked hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, then I'll be back. And I thought, what nonsense. Then I'll go back again the following day because I had thoughts, I had suicidal thoughts. I had, gosh, dark thoughts. I remember there was a family who were riding a bicycle and the kid was just happy and smiling. I just wanted to go to them and shake them. What are you happy about? What's wrong with you? Why are you smiling? Do you not know what I've gone through? I wanted them to feel the pain and the hurt that I felt. And I remember coming home telling my friends, gosh, I don't think I'm going to go out again because these thoughts are not helpful. And so as we think about stepping into picking the pieces, one crucial thing that's important is community. It can't be underplayed, community. And I know Abby's going to talk about that in a few minutes, but I think it's around having people who can accept you for who you are in that season. And I also think, as sad as this might be, there are also people that will leave you. There are people that you think will be there, or that you trust through thick and thin will be there, but sadly, they disappoint. And so part of picking the pieces is understanding that there is forgiveness to be done with other people. Gosh, we're in church, so I can't really say. Do I have the freedom to share some things? There was someone that I never thought would desert me. Never. I never thought would desert me. And as soon as I stepped into this new endings, they were nowhere to be found. And that hurt me even more.
It's another type of loss, isn't it?
I mean, it grieved me even more in such a way that I just thought, you know, God, you can't be doing this. First of taking the one true person that I love, and other people that I would go to usually to share my life events, desert me. Now I know what David said, felt like when he said, people have deserted me, they've forgotten about me. But guess what? Even in that, I found God to bring people who I least expected will be there. I found people who I'd never heard of. I mean, some of our mutual friends we have now.
We have a few, yeah.
But we have a lot of mutual friends, actually, that I never knew were there. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm trying to say is community is key. But in it all, it's also looking at what can we do to help people that we know are going through seasons of change? Because it's two ways. I was going through a season where I wanted to be found by God. And God will use people to find people who are lost. And Abby, I remember as we started talking, you know, she shared about how amazing Beck Church were to her. I mean, I'll let you share your story. Yeah,
I mean, when we talk about the community piece, and if we link it back to the title of this message, Emmanuel, God with us, how do we know that God is really with us in those seasons? What are the things that allow us to know and feel that God is with us? And for me, a big part of it was community. Imagine, you know, on some of those days, some of those darker days, somebody comes to help. So Tim, sorry to put you on the spot, but, you know, Tim would often drop by our house. And I remember there was one particular day I was talking to God, and I talked to God a lot in that season because I had a lot of time, and that's the only thing I could do to process my life. And I think Tim dropped by some books or something for the kids and put a little note in it. So I'm there talking to God, ranting, oh, you don't love me, you don't care about me, all of this stuff. And then I go to the post and I see this package and open it up, and I think there was a lovely note on it. And for me, there's been countless amounts of those things that have happened. You know, when I tell my story, I recount different parts of it. But for me, it was community. It was the way that God was showing that he is with me, and he was with me in that darkest time. Oftentimes, when we're going through dark seasons, we believe that, you know, God, just come and save me. Just take me out of this. You're like, I can't do this. And the reality is, he's with us in that dark season. He's not always there to rescue and take us out. But what he will be is there with us. And I remember a particular season where I was really struggling, and I spoke to another lady, Joanna, a friend of mine, and she had also been bereaved as well. So she was like 3 years down the line, and I was like, I can't be strong anymore. I don't know how to do this. I'm just really tired. Like, what can I rely on? Again, like Tolu said, I don't trust anymore. What can I trust in? I can't trust in people because they can go. I can't trust in this. I can't trust in that. And she said something to me that was like, no, what she said to me was, you can trust in God's goodness. And even in that dark moment, I said, yes, I can. That one, I can trust in. That one, I can hold on to. And the reason why is because I had countless examples of how God had been able to meet my needs, how God had sent people for help. And even when it was just him and me, how he had revealed certain things to my heart that gave me peace in that moment. So put this piece, community, really, really important. And I think community helps us to know that God is with us, even in our darkest moments.
Yeah. And God always gives a lifeline. Now, what I'd not realized was that the music in the background, my expressing of my frustration, were actually prayers of lament to God. So even through the pain, whilst I'm not going to pray, Lord Jesus, I love you. It's Lord, I hate you. You know, I don't think you're good. But as I expressed those things, I began to find that, you know, just like a pitcher being emptied, water being emptied out of the pitcher, it needs to be emptied for it to be filled again. So the song was playing, Holy Spirit, fill me. But you can't feel something that's already filled with bitterness and anger and pain and sorrow. So as I began to empty that out, he began to find other ways that I didn't know that he was using to fill me back up again. So for example, I look at my children who will walk into my room, and Nisa had this teddy bear. Spencer, we called her the teddy bear. And she will walk into my room and just say, Daddy, hug the teddy bear. And I really need a hug in this moment. And Josiah will crawl up the stairs and they will come into my room to make noise, but I didn't want any noise. But as I watched them, I thought, they can't grow in this bitterness that I feel right now. Unknown to me, God was using the children's Sunday school music to heal me. Yeah. And I will play This Little Light of Mine, Jesus Loves the Little Children, and that was also playing endlessly in loop. God's love, it's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. So I was having this cocktail of emotions because of them and my hanging on the thread. I didn't realize I was actually climbing in those moments. And so they would come to me and say, Daddy, let's sing This Little Light of Mine. I don't want to sing This Little Light of Mine. But because they're there, yeah, go on, let's sing it. So there's power in music. And there's power in the words. And the key question really to reflect on is, even in this season of transition that you may be going through, what are you listening to? What is feeding the heart?
What is filling you?
And what is filling you? So I began to write down some of these thoughts that I had. Now, and again, in hindsight now, I didn't realize that God was going to use some of these things to help other people, which I'll come to in a few moments. So I began to write down my thoughts, things that made me angry, and I'll find a scripture to go, yeah, I don't think this one is working. I mean, I went back through Psalms 23, and when it says, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. It had a different meaning. My wife's death casted a shadow upon me. Your loss casts shadow. And so there is a responsibility for me in that. Lord, I don't trust you, but I will not be afraid. And guess what? I won't be in that moment, but 2 minutes later, I'm back panicking. Oh, how am I going to pay the bills? How am I going to do this? But the seasons of life means that God is not a magician that takes us out of that. Yeah. But he walks through in those seasons to mold us, mold our journey with him, and helps us be able to understand how to help all the people who are going through similar situations. So I would have lots of phone calls, and I hate the phone, but I still hate it. I forgot to hold it. I'll have my phone, and I'll chuck it away. And lots of people will be calling me. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to start writing my thoughts, create a blog.
I guess because people ask you, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
And every day people ask me, how are you? I'm like, I don't know. What do you mean, how am I doing? And that question really irritated me. For two reasons. One is that you're asking because you really want to know how I'm feeling. Or two, if I told you how I'm feeling, would you do anything about it? I'm going to crack a quick joke. Okay. So a friend of me was like, one of my friends called me and said, Tolu, I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm like, yeah, so painful. It's like, I would do anything. What do you want me to do? Anything you want, just let me know. Of course, I've had lots of sleepless nights. I've thought about some cheeky things I want to ask people for. So I thought, I've got two kids. I can do with £1 million right now. You know, what would that look like? So he asked me, anything? I said, anything? He said, yes, anything. Okay, how about £1 million? Well, he hasn't called me back since then. I'm guessing he's still working hard to get the £1 million, right? When people ask me, how am I? I'm like, no, you're passing on that responsibility on me. How about you say, Tolu, in the last 2 hours, how have you been? because the last 2 hours could have been a nightmare. I could have felt happy, sad, miserable, everything. Just give me, time box it for me. And so me going through the season of pain, also have a duty to educate people who are there to support me. People who are supporting me also have a duty to really understand what season of life am I in and what are some of the critical things I'm going to need in that season. So I had a friend, my grass had overgrown. He would come, so Abby's more of a talker, I'm more of a doer. And he would come, I mean, she said, let's go therapy. I'm like, no, I don't want to go therapy. But anyway, so for another day.
So to give a little context of the backstory, so Tolu and I did not know each other before.
No, we didn't.
So we have a lot of mutual friends. And then going back to what Tolu is talking about now, so and back to what we have up here or there, wherever you see it, expressing our pain. So Tolu talks a lot about journaling. For me, it was more discussion-based. So I used to listen to a podcast from America, and people had these stories that they would share of loss, different challenges. And I'm like, every time I meet people, they introduce me to other people who've either lost somebody or gone through a challenging season. So I'm like, I need to document this somewhere because it's strangely healing to hear stories of people who have walked a similar path to you because it lets you feel that you're less alone. In those seasons, it feels quite isolating. Is it only me? Nobody else feels like this. Actually, there are lots of people that do feel quite similar, and sometimes we just needed an avenue to tap into those stories. So I created a podcast, and I had interviewed various people. I have a series called Young and Widowed. So a lot of the people that I knew who were young and widowed, there were also stories about people who had lost children or parents or just various things in life. So a friend of ours, when Tolu's loss happened, said, can you talk to my friend? And I said, no. I have lots of resources. There you go. I've read lots of things. There you go. And yeah, I just check in with him. So then do you want to share about Balance Wheel and then we can go back to that?
So because I had lots of time in my hand, I'd read as much academic paper there were written around grief, and also read as many spiritual books there were, faith books about grief. So I stumbled across Jim Dobson, When God Doesn't Make Sense. I thought, yeah, that's a great title. God is not making sense right now. Then I found Philip Yancey as well about When God Disappoints You. So as I then began to read all of this, if you just go back one slide. I then thought, actually, I work with frameworks. And so I then thought, I'm going to create something as well, just tell people how I'm doing. Just go back one slide. There's one that has a framework.
Yeah.
So I then really found all this book around, maybe was it Elizabeth Kubler-Ross or other psychologists or psychiatrists, I'd written a book around grief. And I thought, let me just take all these ideas together and paint something. So I then began to share my story from, this is the new journey, this is what it looked like, this is what it felt like, these are my struggles with faith, these are my struggles with family and friends, these are something someone said to me that rubbed me off the wrong way, this is something someone did that really helped. Now, unknown to me, I mean, unknown to the world, that COVID was going to take a lot of people. So they began to find those contents helpful. And I thought, ooh, okay, this is great. Then I also began to ask other people to join me in writing. You know, when we read about Luke chapter 5, when Peter had a harvest and he called other people to come with him, it was like that. Because there were other people who I also began to find who also had similar loss or had a different loss and began to write their experiences as well. And then how I met Abby, which most of you are thinking about, so how did you meet? And then I needed to start a charity because I thought, let's actually start something as a legacy to my loved wife, late wife. But let's also set a legacy that allows other people to be able to learn from this experience because seasons change. What I found was people who had lost a loved one, when I spoke to them, sometimes they spoke to me based on where they were, but I didn't want that. I mean, I remember someone telling me, oh, you'll get married again. I'm like, to hell with you. I don't care about that right now. How do I deal with these emotions I feel? And so I thought, one day, if I'm going to be there, I need to capture what I feel right now so other people can also find blessing in that. And I find that we go through that season where it's unreal, and that's where our questions about who God is comes in play. Then it gets into, oh my God, this is real. She's never coming back again. So what do I do? How do I ensure that I pick up these other pieces and then carry on with life? Then it gets to the part where it just gets integrated and you have to move forward. And so we began to find our speaking. And then I asked Abby to join me and a few other friends who had gone through loss to help me start. And she didn't like me when she came onto the call. Can you imagine that?
I didn't like him. He took too much of my time. The call ran over. I was ready for bed at 10, and the call finished at 10:30, so I was visibly yawning on this Zoom call that we had. And, I mean, I probably didn't like you for justified reasons. I just felt, you know, we were in different seasons, and I just felt like you're really passionate into the cause, and I'm like, yeah, I'll help, but I don't know if we're going to work well together.
And that reminds me of a song. That song, Waymaker, it says, even when I don't feel it, he's working. Yeah. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Now, unknown to me, God was already working on my heart. I mean, for months, I mean, I wasn't seeing her. And then one day I was like, ooh, hello. Who are you? Remember from To Hell With You about getting married again, right? And as we transited from grief into hello, I mean, time won't allow us to share that, but there was a lot of oscillations, frustrations, because there was the pendulum of, oh, I think I'm ready. But no, I'm not ready. You know, let go. And I would frustrate her, you know, thanks for being patient. And then, I mean, even till we decided we were going to do this, there were still frustrating moments. But one thing we knew, what I realized was I started praying again. I still struggle. I mean, there's a song that I think I'm beginning to accept now. That song about... I'm trying to remember now. It's all my life you've been faithful. So when it gets to that part in church, I'm like, sometimes you've been faithful. Yeah. So, and I remember you took that away from me. But do you know what? As I was then reading scripture the other day, God is good, not because of what he does, but because his mercy endures forever.
Yeah.
So I still struggle with that song as many other songs. I mean, I'll sing it when it gets to the part I don't agree with. Yeah, sometimes you're faithful. Now I'm saying most often you're faithful. Right? Maybe someday I'll get to all my life you're faithful. Right? And it's okay to wrestle and struggle with God. It's okay. David did it a lot in the psalmist. He will say, my heart, why are you so downcast? Why are you disquieted within me? He says, trust in God again. I'm not going to tell you that my trust is where it was. What I can tell you is it's different.
Yeah.
My journey is different based on the loss I've experienced. I'm looking at the time. We need to wrap up. Just go to the other slide now. And guess what God did for us? He took, next one. He took her three children and my two children. And he allowed us to start a new family together. Now, the truth is, humanly speaking, it's impossible. Remember in our early days, I'm like, I like you, but you've got three kids, man.
There's a lot of children.
That's a lot of children. You know, that's all my money going. You know, how are we going to travel? We're going to get a minivan. We're going to get a coach.
Yeah.
Where are they going to sleep? What are we going to eat? Remember that scripture, don't worry about what you would eat or what you would drink, because the Heavenly Father knows.
Yeah. And I remember I had that struggle when I had come to the realization of, okay, you know, my late husband is gone and I have to do this life. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be alone. And, but like, I've got three children and, you know, I'm 31 at the time. Like, that's a lot for someone who's 31. Like, it's, you know, am I going to yeah, how is this going to look? And I remember, I think I flipped to my Bible or the scripture came up on my phone and it was saying, do not worry about these. I'm like, okay. Not like I'm not going to worry. I'm still going to worry. But I made sure that I remembered that moment. And when I think of how our story has played out, you know, and I think that's where you go to the hindsight part, we would never in a million years have thought our story would begin again in this new way.
I can tell one of them. Yeah. So when I started praying again, I said, Lord, I want to be a kept man.
Yeah. I had the same prayer, by the way.
If you're going to do this, I want a millionaire, you know, kept man. And
the
all
same
of that.
Prayer I yeah. prayed.
It's still working even when I don't see it, right?
In process, yeah. Loading.
Yeah. So, what I found that God was doing was helping me to repent. And when we talk about repentance, I think it's three things, really. It's a change of mind, change of heart, and a change of behavior. So my heart began to draw closer as God drew me closer. My mind began to move from the intellectual activities, which are very important. I remember telling someone, God has given me an intellectual mind. I should be able to use it to ask questions even when I need to ask. But it began to move my heart back towards Him. And my behavior began to change, right? And I find that in this transition period, our best ally is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Bible says He's a comforter, right? He's also the balm in Gilead that can soothe all the pain. Now, this is kind of where we are right now. But the ultimate place is in Revelation 21:4, where it says He will wipe every tear from our eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things will pass away. That's going to be our final transition. And I know that some of us may resonate with our story. Some people may not. But I want you to know that if you don't know Christ, the Holy Spirit can't help you. And when I felt deserted by even people that I trusted and I believed in, but the Holy Spirit was doing the quiet work in there, you know, massaging this aching heart. Mm-hmm. I never thought this heart could love again. I never thought I would ever find love again or even have a large family. But guess what? God specializes in doing the impossible things. Do I still have questions? Yes, I do. But, you know, I think when we get to heaven, right, I'm going to be first in queue. Lord, come, let's speak. Right? I'm like, Lord, you know.
You're not first.
I've got this line of questions I need to ask you. But till then, His promise still remains that I, in you all, shall have abundant life.
Yeah.
And life abundantly. Mm-hmm. So key question is, what are you repenting of? Even when you don't see it, He's working. Mm-hmm. Even when you don't know it, He's working. Especially when you don't feel it, He's working. Jeff, just help me play that on the keys.
Yeah, I'll do that.
And
I'd like to finish with Never Let Go, but I'll do that line for you, because I think that's very good.
Thank you.
I've got to get the key.
Thank you.
So, we'd love to pray with you. I mean, we're still on a journey. I mean, I can tell you about the journey about...
So I love the season. It's like transitions. Like, you never end transitioning, do you? You end one season, you adjust to that, you go into the new season, and then you're right back. And that's one of the images that we put, because you're continually transitioning. So now we're transitioning into season of being married again, season of family, growing, just a different season. And that, I mean, you guys need to invite us back for another day. It's a whole other story, isn't it? to share. But, you know, I can just definitely see God in it, not because every day is happy, clappy, smiling, I'm so thankful. But you can see, I can see, you know, where God has brought me from. I can see my lamentations of a season. And when God asks me, don't worry about that, I know that he had a plan for me. I couldn't see it. I couldn't imagine it. I couldn't have known. But now I see what he's saying. So now I trust him because I know that his word is true. I trust him because I can recount portions of my life where he said something and done it. Yes, there are things that I've asked for or that have said and haven't come to play in the way I thought they would, but I can trust him.
So two scriptures that we definitely, I'm coming to also believe, remember my journey from hanging on a thread, is Psalms 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those who are crushed in spirit. Next one is Psalms 147:3, and God heals the brokenhearted and binds the wound. Because if you saw me when my grief journey started, you wouldn't believe that I can smile again.
Yeah.
We can love again.
Yeah.
And we can be here telling you about how God, through all, has been present with us. Even when we don't see it, he is
working.
Even when we don't feel it, he is
working.
Even when we don't know it, he is
working.
It's okay to bow your heads and have a conversation with God. You know what you're struggling with. I don't know. What is currently ended that you're struggling with? That hurts. What disappointments do you have right now? I mean, are you like me who was disappointed with God? It's okay. It's okay, you know. Bible says, let's pour our hearts out to him like water being poured out of a pitcher. It's okay.
Or are you like me, which I haven't mentioned earlier? I cried a lot when the words are not enough. So that could be you as well. What aches your heart and makes you cry? What are those things?
Yeah. Remember, he never stops working. I want to tell someone that he loves you more than you can even think about.
Yeah. More than you can imagine.
More than you can imagine. He's involved in every detail, in every minutest detail of your life.
And he cares ever so deeply, more than you could ever know. Yeah. He really does care.
Yeah. He's collecting those tears in a bottle and to wipe all our tears away. Believe me, you may not feel like it. It may not look like it, but he really cares.